baseline, underneath, bank shot. No, Ewing slams in the follow. And the Knicks go up by one with 26 seconds remaining.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The buzzer sounds, and the New York Knickerbockers are going back to the NBA Finals.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, this is a Philly anthem. Everybody in Philadelphia knows this song. Crack a 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter. Y'all better bundle up. All right, I can't rap Philly music on The Fan in New York. Philadelphia Freeway is the artist. Keith McPherson, the host right now on The Fan. All right, man, it's a little bit after 10 o'clock. I've got 2 more hours left. Let's sprinkle in some other conversations. But obviously, man, we've been talking about Saquon Barkley and his departure from New York to Philadelphia. The Philadelphia 76ers just got departed from Madison Square Garden. Goodbye. Clearly, the Knicks took it personal. The last matchup a couple days ago, they came out and balled tonight. I just saw a post that said, yo, Josh Hart put up Nikola Jokic numbers. Josh Hart had 20 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. He was a plus 32. I laugh because, like, he's like that sometimes. He's gritty like that. He plays like that. Sometimes he can really fill up the stat sheet. 1 of 6 from three, but whatever, still was able to get 20. Brunson had 20. What did Maxey have? I saw Bleacher Report had a prop bet or some type of boost tonight where they had Maxey and Brunson combining for 55, and I said, hell nah, no way. And people bet that. I'm like, no, it's Maxey's first game back from being concussed in the Garden. I'm like, what do y'all expect them to put up? 25 and 30? Mm-mm. Brunson had 20. Maxey had 17. I saw Tsunami Poppy had a mean dunk, but he only had 19. Ultimately, the Knicks go out there and handle business. DiVincenzo had 16. He was a plus 32. OG Anunoby, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. 14 points for him, plus 28. 1 steal, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. I said earlier as I was watching the game, I'm like, just this one guy, just getting one other starter back, one guy you traded for, one guy that was the initial cog in the wheel that really got you going, it helps. And you saw that tonight, right? Precious Achiuwa comes off the bench with 13 points. Plus 13, adds 2 blocks, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. You also get 13 off the bench from Deuce McBride. Good. They're rounding into form. They're going to figure it out. Next, you get Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, and you go on a run. And like I said, I've been saying this whole time, I'm not going to be the host to tell you what the Knicks can or can't do. All that stuff is on wax. I had a bar today online where I'm like, you know, somebody tried to say that I was like celebrating Kodai Senga's injury. I don't care about Kodai Senga. I definitely would not celebrate anyone's injury. I know what it's like to get hurt. But I said, matter of factly, everything I say gets recorded. All this stuff is on the free Odyssey app for 24 hours, and every hour of this show hits a podcast. Shout out to my people that don't stay up and listen all night, and they wake up in the morning and run the podcast and then hit me on Instagram or Twitter to say, yo, great open last night, or yo, when you said this in the fourth hour of the show, I was listening in the gym this morning. You can do that. You don't have to stay up till 12. But anyway, let's keep it rolling. The Rangers, the other team that we're hoping makes a run 30 years from 1994. The Knicks and the Rangers, as you felt the 60-degree temps, can make this one hell of a spring in New York City. The Rangers get a 1-0 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. And you know they say the goalie stands on his head. Shesterkin, second straight shutout. I think Paulie told me he had 28 saves. Yup, I just went to NHL.com. Game center, Igor Shesterkin made 28 saves in his second straight shutout for the New York Rangers. 877-337-6666. As we open it up for reaction from the Rangers fans, from the Knicks fans, if you're driving home from the Garden and you hear my voice and you want to tell us what it was like in there, please hit me up. I always enjoy those calls from people that are just like, I was at the game. This happened. I saw Ben Stiller. I saw Spike Lee, CeCe Sabathia. Josh Hart had this one crazy play, and the Knicks get a win. The Knicks are now 38-27, and you feel better about them continuing to right the ship. The Rangers are, let's see, I don't have the standings right in front of me with the game center. The Rangers are 43-18, 90 points, obviously still at the top in the Metropolitan Division. Sauce Gardner, I mentioned Sauce before, but I wanted to speak more on it. I thought it was funny, Sauce Gardner went on the Pivot, the podcast that Mecole Hardman went on, and everybody picked that up and started talking about what he had to say about the Jets, and Sauce Gardner quietly went on there and defended himself. And he said, the first thing I thought about Mecole when I met him was that he talks a lot. And I'm like, Sauce is quiet, but he also talks a lot. He talks through social media. He talks through Twitter. I ran into Sauce in the airport. He wasn't really saying much at all. And I was looking around at the rest of the people in the airport like, you don't see Sauce Gardner right here? You guys don't want to get a picture? Hey, Sauce, what's up, man? Let me get a flick with you, bro. I know who you are. I respect your game. I know you're one of the best corners in the league. I'm not going to act like I don't know who you are like the rest of these people in Newark Airport. Definitely check out the Pivot. Sauce Gardner, as a leader, defends the Jets culture, and goes out there and takes shots, pew, pew, claps back, fires back at Mecole Hardman, and basically talked about him dropping punts and saying, hey, if you really know what it takes to win, you're going to let the team know. You're going to come in here and let the team know. And I kind of got the idea from Mecole Hardman when I saw him pull up with that big-ass jet chain. He had a big-ass plane around his neck because his nickname, I guess, was the Jet. But I kind of thought that he was coming into the Jets building, which is like, man, this is something that I bet happens a lot with the Jets, right? Somebody comes from a winning franchise. Somebody comes to the Jets and they have a Super Bowl ring. And they just immediately think they're a cut above, they're better. And that's what Sauce was alluding to. He said he never earned his stripes. You're dropping punts in practice. You're getting yelled at by the special teams coach in meetings. Like, you're walking in there acting like your contract means that you're already the man. Don't work like that. 877-337-6666. Multiple times I've read to you guys the 49ers players talking about Daniel Jones and his contract and how Daniel Jones has that going against him last year and this year coming up. There are players in the league that don't feel like he's worth that money. There are players in the league that are never going to see Daniel Jones' money, and they're much better players at their position than he is. So they want to take him out. They think that contract's ridiculous. And now you see Saquon leave. The Giants had players on the record say, yeah, Saquon should have got paid. Some of that money should have went to Saquon. Well, now you've got Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, Tommy Cutlets, still draft a quarterback. You don't have to use the 6th overall pick to draft a quarterback. Still draft a quarterback, though. You haven't drafted one of your own. Draft a quarterback. There's a bunch of them in this draft. If the guy that you like in the first round is not there at 6, okay, take a receiver. And if you don't want a receiver, man, trade back. Trade back, collect some picks, either later in the first round, second round, whatever. See what quarterback drops. See who the Will Levis is this year. And then if that's a guy that you like or you have on your big board or you evaluated, swoop in and take him. Same way you can never have too much pitching. Seems like you can never have too much just throwing. You need arms. You need guys to throw in practice. And you have a Daniel Jones, $40 million quarterback, 35, 9 million signing bonus, whatever it is, recovering from an ACL injury. You have Drew Locke coming over here for $5 million. I don't know what Drew Locke's going to be, but he's an NFL quarterback. He'll be able to throw the ball and run the offense. And Tommy Cutlets has got a chip on his shoulder. He won some games last year. He's going to come in and compete, man. Draft a young guy that you can mold from day one. It is literally time, Brian Daboll. So we can talk about the Giants and their moves. Let's talk about the Jets and their moves as well. I'm waiting for an alert to come across that they have picked up one of the free agent wide receivers that's out there. Hasn't happened yet. Still keeping my eyes on some of the news coming out of the NFL free agency day two. You know, you guys probably heard Derrick Henry went to the Ravens today. Aaron Jones, he's dead to all of the cheeseheads and the Green Bay Packers. Nah, they're nice. They're Wisconsin nice. They'll welcome him back. He's not the first Packer to go play for the Vikings. But yeah, he's going to the rival Vikings. Deontay Johnson traded to the Panthers. Darnell Mooney signs with the Falcons. And there's a bunch of more to get through, and I'll keep mixing some stuff in. I just saw Raiders tight end Austin Hooper is expected to sign with the Patriots. Patriots have been just cycling through tight ends. Oh, my guy Mike Gesicki, the pride of Southern, and we are Penn State. He's about to play with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Look out for him. I think he's going to be a great target up in Cincinnati. We've got a bunch of people on the phones. Let's get to it. 877-337-6666. Lou in Asbury Park, you're on the Fan.
Keith, what's up, buddy boy? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Listen, can we talk about this bozo Brian Cashman one more time, please?
Every day. And every
the
day.
The devastation that he did to this Yankees ball club, okay? Because your last caller about this nailed it when he said that the Yankees did a good job in resetting the cap twice. The problem is that he underestimated the 110% threshold that the Yankees are in.
Mm-hmm.
And Cashman did this by treating this team like an absolute pyramid scheme, chasing bad contract after bad contract. And now, if they go out and they want to get Blake Snell with 110%, if you pay the guy $30 million, it's going to cost you $63 million for him to be here. It's
yep.
not going to happen. They're not going out and get anybody. Dylan Cease is the only viable option here because the kid makes $8 million a year. So even with that 110% threshold, okay, you can justify paying $16, $17 million for a kid like this. But at what cost is that going to take? It's going to take, again, rummaging through the farm system, taking any kind of youth that we have, any kind of potential that we
takes
have.
Takes two to tango. Fail. The White Sox got to want whoever we're giving up, and they're going to stay on our top prospects.
Of course they are, and there's a price to pay when you're desperate, and they know that the Yankees are desperate. So now this Cashman's got to create another pyramid scheme here with our prospects and our farm systems to try to bail himself out now, because it's not just Cole's injury. This is Aaron Hicks. This is Donaldson. This is Stanton. This is Rizzo. This is LeMahieu. $80 million worth of bad contracts falling down on his face again, and nothing ever happened to the guy. If he worked for any other team, he would have been fired years ago.
Yeah, I said that after the terrible 2022 offseason where the move was to trade for Josh Donaldson, and then that team went on a historic run, had a historic player, and you traded for a bunch of damaged goods at the deadline. Thanks for the call, Lou. It just is what it is, folks. It is what it is. I just said this not too long ago. Brian Cashman, he should be on a hot seat, but he's eternal. He's untouchable. But, man, if this season goes south after last year, you think the same Yankee fans that wore Fire Cashman shirts aren't pulling up with those shirts? You think this year they're not going to organize multiple Fire Cashman nights? John from Masbeth, he made it too late. I told him, he's probably listening right now. I'm like, yo, they pressed the break glass in case of emergency release the Martian button. They released the Martian on you. You couldn't be too mad. You couldn't be chanting Fire Cashman when they gave us Jason Dominguez and he was ready. You know, so, man, I am a Yankee fan to my core. I want the next World Series more than I want anything in sports. But I'm also realistic. I also am a baseball fan. I also watch baseball year after year after year after year. It's a long grind. And teams are going for it. And it's not just the New York Yankees. There are smart GMs. There are owners that are spending and not passing up on generational talents. And not just saying, we got too many outfielders to consider a Bryce Harper. Excuse me, say what? Name them. List the outfielders for me, Brian Cashman. Yeah, you know, Clint Frazier, Jacoby Ellsbury, Aaron Hicks. Stop right there. Stop right there. Don't say another name. Lee is in Westwood, New Jersey. Lee, you're on the Fan.
Hey, I want to talk about Cashman, too. He's been a con artist here for the last bunch of years. I mean, this even goes back to when they didn't sign Scherzer before he went to Washington.
Sure. I mean, allegedly, he didn't want to play here, but he came and played in Queens not long after. You got to make these guys want to play here.
And I don't believe about the Yankee tax. I think that's just him not wanting to pull the trigger. I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. I tweeted at you the other day about my cousin Vinny clip after that interview on Yes,
I just don't believe anything that comes after comes out of his mouth.
Yeah, it's hard to believe him. It's hard to believe him when they tell you that Judge was scheduled for two at-bats. 2 days later, he's getting an MRI. It's like, what?
No question about it. And there are so many things that went on. Like, I don't even believe they were interested in Yamamoto. I think they just made an offer to try and appease us, just like the smokescreen of the internal audit that they were going to do that all of a sudden didn't turn out to be that at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because, as I say, newsflash, you said fire Cashman. They didn't fire Cashman. Newsflash, they came out and said, yeah, we're going to run an audit on ourselves. They didn't run an audit. It's the same thing. It's the same organization. It's the same guys making the same moves and same decisions, and old habits die hard. So
you gotta get Bauer here, Keith. You gotta.
They're not.
You gotta.
There's no way. There's no way they do it.
The holier than thou approach. You had Chapman who shot a gun at his wife. You had Herman who smacked his wife in the face at a league event.
There are no domestic abusers on the roster right now. They're not adding one. They're not adding one.
What's that?
There are no abusers, no sexual abusers, domestic abusers, no one on the roster.
They added Chapman knowing that.
That's in the past. They're not going to add Bauer. They're not going to make a move like that. I just know they're not.
He's the only ace that you can bring in because they don't want to trade the prospects and they don't want to pay anybody. That's your only solution if you're not going to do that.
No, they're going to ride it out with who they have. They're going to ride it out with one of the young guys. And if Cole is down for the year, it is what it is. They're going to make a move before the trade deadline, right? That's another thing with Cashman. He likes to wait until the buzzer sounds to make his move. So you won't actually get another ace if they're able to trade for one until, 3 p.m. on July 30th.
Yeah, and you're right, because look at what he just did with the White Sox. They're laughing at him now.
Because you know what?
They're laughing.
Cashman lately has been telling multiple people, he said this on Talking Yanks, he said this on the ESPN broadcast, that he likes to text people gifts, right? Instead of writing out the words, he might have like a puking gif or like a stink face gif as a response. So he probably sends that to these guys when they try to counter off or whatever. I think a lot of these GMs are done with his games. They're not playing the Cashman games at this point. They're like, need us. You need help, clearly. Looks like you need some help.
I hope the White Sox today sent him the Will Ferrell gif of him laughing hysterically and falling off a chair, because that's what that would have been. Because now you're desperate. We knew that this team needed another pitcher. We've known this for months, and he didn't pull the trigger.
Yep.
So now it's coming to bite you because now they know you're desperate. So they're going to say, Spencer Jones. I'm even willing to part with one of the two outfielders because you've got – but then you have to sign Soto if you part with one of them. You have to sign Soto if you part with one of them. You can't then part with them and then let Soto walk at the same time.
And that is not a guarantee. If we're talking about the past history and them bargain bin hunting and them making trades to take on a Josh Donaldson and passing on paying guys like a Corey Seager or a Bryce Harper now because they have 1 year of Juan Soto and pinstripes, they're going to give him $600 million. I would like to think so, because I think that's the smart move, but they're smarter than I am. They're smarter than everybody. They might have another plan. They might think something different. Thanks for the call, Lee. 877-337-6666. We're going to talk Knicks. We're going to talk Giants. We're going to talk Rangers. We're going to talk Jets. Of course, Yankees and Saquon. That's been the theme all day and all night. Keith McPherson on the Fan after this quick timeout. We'll be right back.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It's their 27th World Championship, the most of any team in any sport in the history of professional sports.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right. 90-minute mark. I'll be done in 90 minutes. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get right back to it. 877-337-6666. And we still have calls for the Yankees. This is a space to call up and vent. That's how I opened the show. I had to vent about them lying again and making it worse. Just come out and tell us that Judge got some sore abs. Instead of saying, no. He was only supposed to get two at-bats. Yeah, all right. And yeah, there was a report that the Giants never had intentions of signing Saquon Barkley. You don't say. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario? You're back
What's
on the
What's going fan. On? Good show. This time I called early enough so I didn't get cut off. The last few times I missed it at the end.
Smart.
Yeah, yeah. So I figured I'd do that. It's a nice show. You know, a couple of things on Saquon, you know, that I found interesting. Like, everybody talks about his injuries, but if you look at the last 3 years, he played 16, 13, and 13 games, right? Mm-hmm. He's not been injured the last 3 years. And if you look at it in the totality of his career, he's been injured just as much as McCaffrey. And
he's good. Yeah, he's good for an ankle. He's good for an ankle miss 3 weeks.
No, but I'm told that's 86% of the games in the last 3 years. That's not bad.
This is what it is, Mario. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays with a better offensive line and more weapons around him than he's ever had. It's going to be interesting to see if his body holds up, if Father Time starts to catch him. The way that he trains and works out, I think he's going to be just fine. And the fact that he does not have to tote the rock 30, 40 times in that offense, the fact that he is going to have some wide open lanes with his explosiveness, I hate to say it, Giants fans. I hate to say it because the Dallas Cowboys, they don't have a middle linebacker, and they're not signing anybody. It's going to be rough. That offense has the opportunity to really be explosive if Saquon Barkley is ready to go and A.J. Brown is ready to go and Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Hurts is healthy.
Absolutely. Two more quick points, and then I'll let you go and listen to your answer. You know, the last 2 years, he had 1,200 total yards and 1,600 total yards and with a terrible team and 10 touchdowns each. So they got to replace that. It's not going to be easy to do. And, you know, they paid that new guy they got from, I guess,
Devin
Carolina,
Singletary?
That defensive tackle.
Oh,
they
Brian
paid him,
Burns.
They paid him $150 million for
had
5 years.
That was part of the
30
deal.
Million. So they paid Barkley this year 10.1. He got 12.5 this year. You didn't have $2.5 million to give him more?
No.
Come on. I think it's ridiculous.
I'll
listen to what you have to say. Have a good evening, buddy.
Thanks for the call. It's principle. It is structure. It is code. And when you see a report that they were not interested in signing Saquon Barkley, that is them telling you, we are not investing in the running back position at where we are in this rebuild. It doesn't make sense. We don't even know if our quarterback is going to be upright come week one. We don't even know. You know what I'm saying? There's so many other holes that it'd be ass backwards to give Saquon Barkley $37 million and match. They were never matching that offer. They were never coming close to that offer. It is principle. It is just a way of doing business. It is just a vision that Shane and Dable have for this team. Saquon Barkley is just bad timing.
Counterpoint to that very quickly. If you think it's a bad allotment of cash for them not to give Saquon the money because they're in a rebuild, how does it make sense giving Brian Burns $150 million when you don't have a
Because he's an edge rusher. He's 26 years old, and they're looking at him as this guy's going to wreak havoc with Dexter Lawrence in the middle and Kayvon Thibodeau on the other side.
Can they win with Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, and Tommy DeVito? Because that's what they have right now. And I think that's the question. That would be my... Burge is a great player, obviously. But I'm saying it's an interesting strategy when most football people think the Giants aren't going to be contenders next year or probably the year after, and you're locking
Brian Burns,
$90 million to this guy.
Brian Burns' contract is for 5 years. He's in his prime. I don't think they expect to win this year, but they expect to win some year in his prime. Yeah. $76 million guaranteed at signing. And
I think it's like 87 or 88, whatever the number is. But Burns is a great player. But they're essentially in a rebuild.
No, they're definitely in a rebuild.
Right? And so that's my point. Is that the smartest allotment of cash for them to lock in that much money
one
to a guy if you're not going to win?
A guy that they deemed one of the best pass rushers in the league at 26, who I said didn't play last year. He's fresh. He's hungry.
Sure.
He's got something to prove. And I think Shane had a relationship with the GM in Carolina, which also facilitated this. And they looked at this as their big chess move. Yeah, we're going to lose Saquon Barkley, but boom, we have one of the best edge rushers locked up for the next 5 years. Now we can build out the rest of that defense, and not for nothing, when you look at how you build out a defense, right? Up front, the line of scrimmage. Dexter Lawrence is arguably the best three-tech defensive tackle in the league. You put him next to Brian Burns next to him. If Kayvon is what we think he is on his rookie deal, let's see it. Shane Bowen is going to put them in positions to wreak havoc. I doubt you're going to see Kayvon dropping into coverage as much as you did in Wink Martindale's system. They're going to say, put your hand in the dirt, get after the quarterback, which is going to be Dak Prescott twice a year, Jalen Hurts twice a year, maybe Drake May, Jaden Daniels twice a year. They put a premium price on getting to the quarterback. And you're hearing everybody say this. I've listened to WFA in the last 2 days. I've listened to NFL Live. In this league, you start with the quarterback first. They're not able to do that right now. They paid Daniel Jones last year. They defaulted into that. They have buyer's remorse. It is what it is. But you know who they chose to pay this year? Not a running back the year off of paying a quarterback. They chose to go to the other side of the ball and pay one of the quote-unquote best edge rushers in the league. Let's see what this guy is. I don't expect this guy to be a bust. Go look up his highlights. Just look at his build. Just look at his pedigree, his track record. They decided to put that money into John Runyon. The Eleanumenor. I don't know the guy's name. I don't have it in front of me. And Devin Singletary. We'll see how it works out for him. Let's go to Ed in Nutley, New Jersey. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith? First time, long time.
All right.
Appreciate you taking the call.
Yeah.
Totally agree on all of the Saquon points that you've made tonight. I thought it was a really disciplined move. I love that we're building the foundation and building for the future. Wanted to get back to the draft. So that's probably the next big piece that we'll have, you know, toward that foundation. So at six, do you think O-line? Do you think wide receiver? I wanted to get your point of view on the next big pick that we might have. And then second question is just with, you know, the Big East and the Atlantic 10 tournament in town. I wanted to just see what you thought the chances were for St. Bonaventure this year. I'll hang up and listen.
I gotcha. I can't tell you the chances for St. Bonaventure in basketball. I wish them luck if that's your alma mater. I see tomorrow they face off against LaSalle in the Atlantic 10 tournament. I'm pretty sure the Atlantic 10 tournament is down in Atlantic City. I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive. I want to say our very own Emmanuel Babari was down there to call the Iona game. I'll have to look into that. But that's not the focus right now. The focus right now is talking about who the Giants draft at six. And, you know, I want to go back to a word that Ed just used, discipline. Everything in life requires discipline. If you want to be great, you better have discipline in everything, in every facet. And a parallel you can make with where the Giants are right now, they're broken. And when you're broke, as far as being like popped, no bread, no funds, no money, you can't go out and spend on luxury items or you're going to stay broke. Follow me. If you're not making a lot of money, if you have a warning low balance, and then you get a little bit of money and you decide you want to spend it on designer shades, you decide you want to spend it on designer jeans, you're going to stay broke. Saquon Barkley is a luxury item as a running back. Saquon Barkley, even though he's 27 years old with mileage, he's still a luxury SUV. You gotta come back down to earth, baby. You gotta drive that Honda around, right? And when you do build up a little bit and you do invest in something, you get the gritty investment, right? Or you get the investment into something that you actually need. Put the money into something more sturdy for the next 5 years, like a home. But like when you're broke, and trust me, I know all about being broke, you got to cut corners a little bit and you can't buy the luxurious things. Like I remember being broke and it's like, oh, I got to listen to Spotify with the ads. I remember being broke and it's like, I'm just drinking water. I can't afford to buy anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't do anything extra. Nope, not drinking this weekend, not going to the bar, not picking up a six pack. You can't do anything extra. So what I'm saying is the Giants are in a rebuild. They're broken right now. They technically are building, not from the ground up, but pretty low to the ground. And their allocation of funds, I'm all on board with. It makes no sense for this new regime to hitch their wagon the next 3 years to Saquon Barkley for $37 million. They'll be all right. But to bring Brian Burns in here and pay him that money and take a gamble on that, I think it's more sound of an investment. I think it's a very disciplined move. That's why I said this is structure. This is planning. This is principle. This is just a way of doing things that, yeah, Dave Gettleman wasn't thinking about when he drafted a running back number two overall. You don't do that. Now, speaking of the draft, Tankathon has the Giants taking Malik Nabers number six overall because he is the number two projected wide receiver after Marvin Harrison. I know everybody keeps saying they should take a quarterback, they should take a quarterback. But as of right now, they have three quarterbacks on the roster. As of right now, we don't expect them to get one of the top three quarterbacks in the draft. So at number six, if you are interested in a J.J. McCarthy, if you are interested in a, I don't even know, Bo Nix. I saw Bo Nix had his pro day today, and they said the only head coach was Matt Eberflus from the Bears. They're taking Caleb Williams. What are they doing at Bo Nix pro day? They said there was not enough NFL teams there interested in Bo Nix. Even with Michael Penix Jr., we'll see what happens. I think there is ways for them to finesse and finagle, and there's going to be a guy that somebody wants, right? There always is. Whether it's maybe somebody else really wants Malik Nabers at number six, and they can get on the phone and they can shop around. Hey, swap with us your first round pick and give us your second round pick. And then they can add talent. You have to trust that Shane and Daboll know what they're doing from the years that they were in Buffalo and the last 2 years that they've been here. Let's go to Frankie out on Staten Island. What's up, Frankie? You're on the Fan.
Yo, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I think I'm good, man. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I honestly, I feel like it's an unpopular opinion, but I think Joe Shane is absolutely destroying the free agency right now. He's I think like that guy before me said, it was such a disciplined move not to pay Saquon.
Yeah, you got to take the heart out of it. You got to take the personal stuff out of it. You got to take the emotion out of it, right? They're looking down the line, investing in Saquon because he says he wants to be a Giant for life. Sorry, we didn't draft you to be. We didn't draft you.
Yeah, man, and when you think about the 2007-2011 Giants, one thing that everybody says, they're like, oh, well, that defense carry. Oh, okay. Like, look what they're doing now. They're building it up, man. When you had Strahan,
you had O.C. Umenyora, you had Justin Tuck. They're trying to do that again with Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah, dude, that's scary. The line, they're building up the offensive line. They're spending their money how they should. I mean, it's tough. I mean, with the draft, I just, you know, it's like a repeat, bro. You're at six. Like, oh, are they going to take the quarterback? Like, what happened the last time we did that? Did everybody forget about it, you know?
No, you can't forget it because that guy's still here.
I really hope they don't force a pick because I
don't think they will. It's too risky. It's too risky to take J.J. McCarthy, who is projected to be a project in the NFL, who when you watched him at Michigan, which I need to dive deeper into his film and not speak. Thanks for the call, Frankie. I don't want to speak like I've watched all his game, but I watch college football. You've seen. And if you watch the college football playoff, they had beasts on that offensive line and a two-headed monster in that backfield for Michigan. They didn't rely on J.J. McCarthy to throw the ball down the field. That's what the quarterbacks have to do in the NFL. That's what Daniel Jones hasn't necessarily been able to do. Tyrod Taylor had more success throwing the ball down the field. So the next quarterback that they draft has to be a guy that they're sure can do that. And a quick way to get bounced is making a mistake on the quarterback. I don't think they're going to make a mistake and draft a project. They might kick this down the road. They might draft a quarterback in this draft in a later round, second, third round. Maybe if there's somebody that falls that they're like, hey, this guy could have potential. But as far as their guy, they could wait till next year. You now have Drew Lock. You obviously have a $40 million man in Daniel Jones, that's going to have a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's been through a lot here. He's going to try and prove it again. And Tommy Cutlets is like, hey, what about what I did? I won three games for us last year in a row. Like, I want my shot as well. So they might say, yeah, you know what, guys? We're in a rebuild. We might not have the quarterback of the future, but let's see what we do this year with these three guys, however it shakes out. Let's try and build up this defense in the first year. Shane Bowen, you know what Deontay Banks is. You know what Bobby Okereke is. You know what Micah McFadden is. I think the other night I referenced Jordan Love by accident. Obviously, I wasn't talking about Jordan Love when I was talking about the Giants' safeties. I meant to say Julian Love. Jordan Love is the quarterback of the Packers. That happens, sports brain. You speak wrong. But I'm like, okay, they lost Julian Love 2 years ago to the Seahawks. They lose Xavier McKinney. Draft a safety. And I think there's still some safeties out there on the market. Let me look at that. We got to take another break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. When we come back, we're talking Knicks as the Knicks get a win, a much-needed win, and we welcome back OG. We can also talk Rangers as well. Everything in the NFL, Yankees, Mets, whatever you guys want to do. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, we're right back at it. Time is burning on me. I'm done in like an hour and 4 minutes. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Another 5 hour KM to AM. We're talking sports in New York. What else? 877-337-6666. I mean, so much goes on during the break. Paulie's sending me hockey fights. I'm trying to find out what free agent safeties are available. I'm trying to think about what the Giants are going to do in the draft. That six overall pick. And Tiki said it today, and I'm not going to go against what Tiki's saying. And I keep telling y'all, when Tiki's talking about the Giants or talking about football, listen, I low-key took a shot at him about not knowing his baseball. But I also thought about that, too. I was like, it wasn't even a shot. And I think people got to stop being so damn sensitive. I just saw Joy Taylor talking about Tiki Barber's take. Everybody in sports now can run with Tiki Barber's take. Relax. But me joking about that with Tiki, like Tiki was an NFL running back. There's no way he was watching 162 Yankee games, Mets games. He wasn't doing what we do. He was not watching 100 of those games. He was playing professionally. And I thought about myself, like when I was playing high school and college football, I was not as tapped in to baseball because you can't be. You're at your own practices and games during the games. You have your own things to do while they're playing. You might catch SportsCenter, but like as baseball fans, the most diehard baseball fans that know the most about baseball, those are the fans that are watching nine innings every single day. 877-337-6666. Where are the diehard Knicks fans at? Let's go to Ben in Bernardsville. Ben, you got it?
My guy, Keith, how's it going?
I'm good, Ben. How you been, bro?
Pretty good. I want to talk some Knicks. OG Anunoby making his return tonight. I mean, it looked like he's the piece that we need to get back going. We hit a little rough patch, but no need to hit the panic button anymore. Knicks country, we are back.
It looked good. I mean, from the little bit that I saw, I could see the garden was lit up. I mean, the introduction, just like welcome OG Anunoby back. It was like a savior. I think I saw a tweet. One of the beat reporters was like, if OG Anunoby ran for vice president with RFK, I think he'd be a better running mate than Aaron Rodgers. They'd definitely win.
I mean, a huge show from OG tonight. We saw what his defense brought to the table. And then even Josh Hart, another triple-double. He wanted that 19th rebound at the end of the game when Tibbs pulled him, but he needed the rest.
Yeah, I know he's trying to stuff the stat sheet, but right, Tibbs pulled him. It doesn't matter. There's plenty more games left. You got to stack wins. You got to push forward, keep getting healthy, and the dream is back on.
Yeah, got to keep stacking wins until we get Julius back in hopefully a week or two. That's what they were saying after OG came back, a week or two. And then maybe Mitch right before the playoffs, that would be huge. I think he comes off the bench the whole playoffs, though. Because Hartenstein's just been tremendous, locking down the paint and being an anchor on defense.
Yeah, and Hartenstein, I think, has a little bit more of an offensive game, and you kind of give him the nod just because this has really been his year, and you want to ease Mitchell Robinson back in with his minutes, but it doesn't hurt to have a defender like that at all.
No, not at all, especially coming off the bench. Precious even tonight with the two blocks. But Mitch is better than that, and he grabs more rebounds. You mentioned he doesn't have as much of an offensive game. If you can run Mitch and Precious on the same on the court at the same time, run Precious at the four, Because he played a little four tonight in garbage time when Sims was on the court. So that might be something Sims would consider.
Yeah, I saw Shake Milton got in there. The rotations are going to start changing as you get guys back. The last thing I'll ask you is, like, here comes an opportunity for you to make a run. Like, you've got the Trailblazers coming up, the Nets, the Pistons, the Spurs, all before the end of this month. You have some challenging games in there, too, but I think the Knicks can go toe-to-toe. They'll see the Warriors again, try and get some revenge against them, the Nuggets. So is this the stretch? It's got to be, because the season's coming down to a finish April 14th. You got to have wins stacked through this month of March.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be the stretch where we really try to get some separation from that 5-6 play-in team. And we were in a similar position in January when we went 14-2. We had a really easy schedule mixed in with like two or three tough games. But we just got to keep stacking wins. And until we get healthy, that's what we got to do.
Yeah, wish you luck. Thanks for the call, Ben. 877-337-6666. My Casamigos big shot of the night coming up once we get to the 11 o'clock break. Let's take that break right now. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back after this.